Of God can extend to is called the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of heaven is that portion of the kingdom of God where in experience the life and the culture of heaven has been allowed to find expression.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Those following us online, God bless you. From any nation you may be connecting from, those outside, any of the overflows, God bless you. Last week, the Lord began to speak to us, and He began to open us to the revelation of our kingship and our priesthood, how that the king-priest dimension is a formula that God designed a believer to be able to operate. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 that we have been made unto our God kings and priests. Other versions say a kingdom of priests. Are we together? And the Lord began to teach us how that king-priest dimension is necessary to be able to capture the full import of God's idea of dominion and legislature. We did teach last week that if the dimension of the king alone is manifested, then there are other aspects of the wisdom, the grace, the power of God that will be missing. And if we only focus on our priesthood and forget God's system of legislature as kings, we will still rob God from manifesting the full import of his dimensions. Hallelujah. But the emphasis was, it was an attempt to teach us how to preserve, not only to advance, but to preserve the secrets. We call it the ordinances of God. Are we together? One of the most tragic things that can happen to a people and a territory is to have an interface of generations that cannot connect spiritually. Are we together? So you have a generation of men and women who love God and honor Him and passionately seek Him. And then you find out that there is a gap of 10 or 20 years, and the generation that arises from that breed completely are antagonistic to the values and the passion of the generation before them. History is full of territories, cities, nations, localities that pioneered certain strange and notable dimensions of God. But sadly, those dimensions were robbed eventually. They were hijacked by the inability of those who were used to pioneer those revivals. They knew how to birth revivals, but they did not know how to preserve it. Are we together? Preservation is very important. It matters to God that the generations that come, that our children and our children's children, they must be able to hold on to the template of our convictions. And there is a system designed to make your child and your child's child know and believe your God. There is nothing as dangerous and disheartening for a father as seeing his child not serve his God. He says, as for me and my house, not as for me alone, not as for me and my wife. Transgenerational relevance is important in the kingdom. That the scope of our relevance must not just transcend our lifetime or the jurisdiction of our relevance as apportioned by God. Kingdom advance is very important, but we must be able to culture ourselves into the spiritual system apportioned by God to preserve His ordinances. Every time I study history, my heart is broken. They will tell you about cities like Spokane. They will tell you about several places. Once upon a time, Europe was the center of revival. Are we together? Fire was burning all across the length and the breadth of those territories. And now you would hardly thank God for the things that are happening. There was a time in the city of Welch, there was a revival that broke out. Men and women caught fire just by reading the move of God on a newspaper. People received impartations, they got born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Growth disappeared from people just reading about a revival. But the system of preservation was not there. So our history books are full of the moves of God. Mighty things. Dimensions that our generation has not even entered into. But then most of them, the lifespan of that extent of impact was the lifespan of the one who pioneered that move. Usually with the death or the backsliding of the pioneer, the move dies. And dies to a point that it is buried and there is no monument in that territory that testifies that God once moved. Everybody shout, God forbid.
God forbid.
There must be ordinances preserved that in life or in death they will know once upon a time God moved across this nation, moved across this city. And there are testaments, not just physical buildings and monuments, but a heritage, a spiritual heritage that has refused to leave. When you travel across the West, I travel across these areas a lot, and I am profoundly touched at how they respect monuments that remind you of certain notable events that once happened in those regions. It could be places of worship. It could be physical monuments. It could be lots of things. I remember one time a few years ago, we were in Kogi, and Pastor Alpha was taking us around and we were seeing some of the monuments. They showed me certain places where wars happened. They showed me certain historical things. There must be a system of preserving not just the heritage of being a Christian, but the extent to which God moved must also be captured. It is important that our children know that not only were we Christians, we were men of fire. It is important that our children must know that once upon a time, a preacher can be preaching and the power of God can touch someone miles away. Let me tell you something. When Satan finds out that it is difficult for him to capture a generation, he gives up on that generation and goes to our children and starts growing with them. Satan can be patient for as long as the generation that has sponsored God's move fades away. So he will be silent, and sometimes we will mistake his silence as our breakthrough in the spirit, not knowing that it's an intentional deceit. For many years, he can be quiet until those who were at the hallmark of alignment, allowing the purposes of God to be birthed, either through old age or whatever exhaustion, when they fade away, then he grows with a generation. A generation that do not know God. A generation that does not know Pharaoh again. A generation that does not know Joseph. Today, there are certain buildings that were once centers of revivals. They are clubs today. Do you know why? There was no system of preserving the move of God. That once upon a time, this was a place of encounter. It was a place where people would run to God with their challenges and roll up and down. In Zaria here, there have been physical locations that because of the extent of the incense that arose to heaven and the sacrifices that conveyed those times, they became portals literally. But many things have happened to them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
That there is a way you have been trained to call upon the name of the Lord, and one day you will watch your child in limbo and confusion. You have not taught him. What secret did you carry that made your ministry prosper? Now your son is 22 years. Are you not surprised at the children of some of those who pioneered moves? And you are wondering, what happened? Where did the power go to? Gehazi, why did you not receive from Elisha? What happened? There are mantles and graces that are still on earth but are not available for use because the system of preservation and transference was not there. The West is full of great prophetic movements. Many of them died at infancy, largely due to illiteracy and a quick capture of hell. However, there is still a heritage of the eyes that can see and the ears that can hear. Can see those folks. Are we together?
Yes.
Our soils and territories are full of stories. You meet an old man and he tells you it was in this location. One day rain was falling everywhere. But you see this house you are looking at, that is now a beer parlor. Rain did not fall there. And then you ask, who was there? They said there was one white man. We don't know his name. We just know that he came from America and spent 2 weeks there. The moment he left, people started falling under the anointing on the street. Where then is that mantle? What was the formula? Nobody was taught. He left or died. And you find out that in that territory, the most powerful person hardly knows God. Destined all around. We must preserve the curriculum, a portion for us to know God. My generation must know the God I know, not the God they want to know. They must understand His power to the extent to which we allow Him to move. And this is what this issue is aimed at providing us. To open us up to the systems in the spirit that are responsible for preserving divine ordinances. So that one day, this little kid playing around, that little boy can hold the mic and say, I remember the name my father called God when I wanted him to heal people. There was a song my father raised every time the power of God was about to move. Whenever I saw my father close his eyes, I understood the meaning. If we ignore our children, we are going to destroy a generation. Most of our parents will tell you they attended T.L. Osborne's crusade. Correct? They attended most of these crusades. They will tell you what happened. Some of the generals, some of our parents went abroad at the times of those movements, and they had the privilege to go to those cathedrals. They saw raw power. They saw prophecy. They saw grace. They saw transformation beyond the church walls. And today they sit down with sicknesses ravaging them. And you say, Daddy, do you believe God? He says, I remember. In 1971, I remember T.L. Losborne Crusade. What happened? Preservers of the ordinances of God. Are we blessed? I have done my best to study revivals and to study the life of the generals. And every time I study, I see gaps. Gaps between one generation and another. What did Smith Wigglesworth know that we do not know? What did Kevin Kuhlman know that we do not know? Even if they made mistakes, what wrong did they do? We are not even, we only talk about the mistakes. We don't say what. If people walk at that dimension and they still sleep, will it not be wise to find out? If I were alive in the days of the generals, I would not yet be qualified to hold a mic. I would be a chief usher. With the level of spiritual development now that we brag around and make noise about, you would dare not hold the mic in those days. No. Read the Bible and see those who worked in welfare departments. The welfare department of the early apostles were the crusaders of our generation. If you were ever given an opportunity to speak to people, the number of the prophetic eyes that screen you, and all of them would have to unanimously pass you. When you study the history of the move of God in Nigeria, that was how men like Apostle Babalola were detected. They were not detected by desire. It took the eyes of the Spirit and the supervision of a very strong apostolic council that knew God. Not, you don't come and lie and talk nonsense with fake visions. Mm-mm. Are we together? John C. Lake had those we call healing technicians. The condition to be qualified to be called a healing technician was that for starters, when you came, they would give you a sick body and give you 30 days. How many days? Any sick body, whether one leg and the other amputated, that's not the issue. Whatever allocation reaches you, your assignment is to turn that dead body to a miracle. 30 days. If you could not heal that person within 30 days, John Lake will politely tell you, we have seen you are trying, but please go and join the congregation. Very simple. Spokane became the healthiest city in the world because one man. But the question is not the impact. The question is the transference. Where is it? Where is it? It was said about E.W. Kenyon, great man of faith, that man raised the dead at will. Raising the dead that we talk so much about was a normal occurrence. Are we together now? There was a time a tractor broke the legs of a farmer and pieces the bones like pieces. Your leg is pieces. And when that happened, the Bible says, well, not the Bible, history says that, what's his name now? Kenyon came and just looked at the legs and the bones began, you know, the book of Ezekiel, like that, the man's leg. Not gradual healing. Right there, and he said, stand up and go away. A man died during the time of St. Patrick for 6 months. How many months? 6 months. When St. Patrick got there, he wrote his signature on the grave and said they should open it. They brought the man alive. These were men who knew the ordinances of God. There are levels of spiritual manifestations you cannot test. The level of accuracy required to produce that outcome does not allow guessing. Are we together? One of the Catholic priests, they were building a cathedral and the wood stopped and there was no money to complete it. Go and read your history. He held the wood and just continued moving. And that was how it kept elongating. Today, if a little leg grows out of another, people shout around and say, how are we sure? What a shame on us. We have lost a manuscript that was freely given to a generation that made illiterate, ordinary men and women do business with God. Hallelujah. I had the opportunity to meet Prophet Kobus before I went to be with the Lord. And I remember having a conversation with him. And he was telling me what Lester Sumrall told him about what Smith Wigglesworth told Lester Sumrall. And some of the moves of God and some of the prophecies that would come in our generation. And I was stunned. Smith Wigglesworth told Lester Sumrall, he said, look, make sure you don't die with your anointing. Find young men who are serious and transfer it to them. Preservers of the ordinances of God. Once upon a time, Apostle Babalola was thirsty and there was no water. He understood a key and he opened the heavens and water came out of a rock. Brothers and sisters, this is not the realm of trial and error. These men were custodians of the mysteries of the kingdom. Are we together? Archbishop Benson Idahosa went round the world as an African. No land could resist him. I remember one time Benny Hinn was laying hands on people and he got to Archbishop Benson Idahosa and he removed his cap. When Benny Hinn touched him, he fell under the anointing and he put his cap back. He said, thank God it was an African that drew you. I remember one crusade that they were having together with Benihim. And Benihim was praying, trying to charge the atmosphere, and rain wanted to fall. The altar came and collected the mic. He said, rain is falling. Those who are sick, lay your hands there. There was no time to waste. He didn't ask them whether they had faith or not. He understood a system to force their miracle. A guy's face was bent, and he came to him for healing. And he said, look up. And the guy looked up. He said, God, this is your image. If this is how you look, leave this man like that. Custodians of the ordinances. Now, some of you, it's a shame that some of us are just hearing this for the first time. Yet, this is our spiritual heritage. When you start training children from primary school, you teach something called social studies. You teach them the history of their nation. You teach them the advantages of being a citizen of that nation. Why? You are preserving that sense of nationhood. We have lost that sense of spiritual nationhood. We do not understand the extent, and that's why our faith is not strong, because we are not familiar with the dealings of God. Today, someone is favored in 1 month, he becomes prosperous, and we shout about it. We insult fathers of faith for buying just a little land. Have you not read about Alexander Dewey? He was not elected, but he was the spiritual mayor of Illinois. He built a city single-handedly. He was not just a prophet, he was a multi-millionaire. It was said his wealth was so mysterious, people became afraid. He built a city. Well, his opinions were had their issues here and there, but he built a city with a hospital in it. Today it's still called Zion City in Illinois. You get there, once he was 12 on the dot, everywhere around the city you had to stop and pray. Once upon a time, Catherine Kuhlman was teaching, and someone came into the meeting. Sorry, Maria Woodward Eater was teaching, and someone came and was laughing at her. And the moment she was laughing at her, she said, God judge you. Her tongue fall off immediately to be bigger than the size of her head. After 3 days of prayer warriors praying, that tongue refused to go down. And they advised the person to come and apologize. He came before the church and apologized to her. She laughed and slapped the tongue. It went down in their presence. Are we together? These people, it was their life. It was not so. William Branham would stand for hours and watch a congregation and not say anything, because he said he was waiting for his angel to come. You say you have seen angels today, they say you are diabolic. You collected power from somewhere. This guy stood and did not do anything. And then eventually, all of a sudden, a physical wind will start blowing in the church physically, and all of a sudden you say, here comes the angel, and turn and start giving a level of word of knowledge and prophecy that very few people on earth will ever get there. There is no mortal man on earth now I know who is working in William Branham's dimension of prophetic accuracy. They did not have videos to capture their meetings. Strange manifestations. But something happened. As powerful as these moves are, the children had the opportunity to learn without guessing. They had the opportunity to learn without trying. With the little dimension of grace that God has exposed to me, I've had the privilege of teaching people with a level of accuracy according to what God has given, and I've watched a reproduction. Imagine that you were mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. Imagine he told you what God taught him. Imagine what happened to him when he went to heaven. Imagine that he told you. Imagine that you stood side by side with him. They brought somebody with a condition called an alligator skin, where his skin, the top skin, had rotted. And they brought him before A. Allen. A. Allen looked at him and laid his hand and removed the old skin like that. Like you remove another hand and a new hand appears. And he threw it away. Jacob, one of the greatest manifestors of the faith of God, I watched this. It's not like they told me. They brought someone with cancer and he sat down on a chair. He looked at the neck. He held the cancer and removed it. Did you hear what I said? Not that he held it, that it went down. He removed it. Everybody see, I'm holding it. Shame on the devil. In Smith Wigglesworth's book, his own confession, that one time a spirit appeared in his room. Devils appearing in his room. And the room was shaking and rocking. And it came out. When it came out, he looked at the pallor and he saw his spirit sitting. And he turned back. Don't waste my time. He went to go and sleep. Not pray. Not fast. Not bind. Sleep. I thought it was an angel that brought a message. But since the few Satan, he joined the chair and go back. This is not, I claim I am powerful. This is a settled, this is fully the seated in heavenly places mentality. We are missing something. The little we have been able to capture is what we are bragging with. But there must be a system. And while we trust God, that the Spirit of God who opened them up to those portals will open us also to those portals. Listen, inasmuch as we are trusting God for those dimensions, hear me, we must start taking cognizance of the system of preserving spiritual heritage. Do you know the mystery that governs the move of God in Koinonia? Do you know why the power of the Holy Spirit moves so lavishly? It's not just because an anointed man is holding the mic. There is a formula. Will we go with this thing and shine alone and enjoy alone and build empires alone? Or are we going to translate these things so that someone somewhere will enter another meeting in a city and all of a sudden, just holding the mic, you are just saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, and you engage that mystery and you watch people rising from wheelchairs. You are not, this is not trial and error, that you are moving in a dimension of power and grace and illumination. Preservers of spiritual ordinances. Let me tell you the truth. Don't believe everybody is trying this thing. There are people who have received as a blueprint. The ordinances are postured to them as a level. They know it. They can operate it any day, any time, and it will not fail, regardless of what the limitations are. You must understand this. These things are ordinances. They are given. It's like a manuscript that the Spirit of God gives you. You use it anywhere you walk. And no devil. There is a mystery that casts out devils. It's not just go, go, no. To draw from you again. Again. I'm just doing a recap on last week's teaching. Listen. The Bible tells us that the physical things we see on earth are an adumbration, a prophetic depicting of the way the realm of the spirit works. That means you can look at your physical environment and understand how the realm of the spirit works. Now, the earth is distributed territorially. There is the concept of governance and territory. Is that true? Every territory has a system of governance. Every territory, listen carefully, has mineral resources. This is how it is spiritually. God's design and ordination is such that he distributed his dimension to every territory. There is a curriculum of God that the men and women of God in every territory must be able to bring down and supply the people in that territory. Otherwise, there is a kind of growth that will never be experienced. The reality of having spiritual platforms in every territory where the purposes of the kingdom is not only taught but brought is one of the keys I taught you. I taught you last week, listen carefully, that kingdom advance is territorial. Although the mandate is global, but the approach is per territory. So God apportions a territory like Zaria and commits to us. And the assignment is, he says, there is a dimension of me that I want the people who are within this soil to know and understand. And then he starts for men and mandates them to align in a way and manner that allows him to reveal that. Your marking in the spirit is based on how much of that dimension was safely brought and revealed to the people. You can know whether God has a system that represents his presence in eternity. You can always know. You don't need to find out how many churches. No. You don't need to find out how many men of God. No. It is a spiritual way of discerning. One of it is the extent of the dispensing of the mysteries of the kingdom and a system that preserves it. There is a way our fathers prayed and God resolved. Many young people pray, but we pray anyhow and pray the way we want it, because nobody mentored us in the art of prayer. Yes, we were mentored to spend long hours and dissipate energy shouting, but these guys had, there was a mystery. Elijah was up the mountain and they brought a band of 50 people and he said, if I be a man of God. Job was frustrated in his life. Job said, God, I need you here. And God came. What formula did Job use to invoke God? And God came. The Bible never said God said me. God appeared. Job, you called me. The wife of Job said, curse God and die. That word is mysterious. That means there is a code you can speak on earth and die immediately. He said, curse God and die. Not, that means it's within your power. You know the formula for death. Job, you know it. Why don't you end your life? And Job said, no, I still want to live. Please understand what I'm teaching. What was the formula? There is something that men can say from earth to heaven and their life ends immediately. That's what the wife of Job was saying. Do it. And Job said, no. These are my contemplations. These are the things that keep me pursuing God passionately, regardless of the little results here and there. You must bench yourself by a high standard so that no matter what happens, you are rated by a standard that is higher than the existing standard in your generation. It's not pride. It is a simple start to press into a depth of God and deliver to a generation. It's not for the purpose of making a name. There were mysterious secrets of wealth hidden in the Bible. The Bible is full of people who tapped into a dimension of supply that we are just trying to learn. Cities came out of recession overnight. Those ordinances are still available. When Elisha took the mantle of Elijah, he struck it in a way that the river divided. The river never divided for Elijah or Elisha. The river divided for whoever had that grace. And that includes you. If we stood before the Red Sea today, we will call architects to build bridges. Those guys say, pass that thing and let's go. If God tells me to ask him one thing, I will say, Lord, please take me in a vision to ancient Egypt. I want to see the display of the power of God through Moses. I just want to be led like Ezekiel and watch Moses in that temple, and watch Pharaoh look at him, and watch the stench of witchcraft, and a man comes immune. Moses was not afraid for himself. He was on assignment. God, these people were strange men. No wonder Hebrews say the earth was not worthy of them. When you mention those we think the earth is not worthy of them, we mention Mother Teresa, Mandela. The earth is worthy of them. There are people the Bible says the earth is not worthy. In other words, they did the earth a favor by passing. They were not ordinary men. When we get to heaven, we will see the constituents of their design. They only carried bodies that were young. There had to be an ancient mystery inside them. And the Bible says, on account of that, the earth is not worthy of them. We shared a few things that would help us. Let me run through them and then we'll finish up. We didn't finish last week, and my assignment is to finish it today and then we'll pray. That number one, the first key to advancing and preserving the move of God in a territory is a system of consistent prayer. Everybody say prayer. And not just random need-driven prayer. The ministry of warfare and intercession must never go out of fashion if we want to preserve the move of God in a territory. The ministry of intercession and warfare. Now, I know that we come from different places and we all have different ideas about warfare and the rest, but let me tell you one truth. Based on the authority of the Word of God, the Bible never left us in the dark as to the fact that territories have controlling powers apportioned to them. And nobody prevails over a territory until you sustain capacity to subdue the powers that control the territory. When you see people thrive in a territory, listen carefully. It is not because the power of darkness is not there. It's because they have sustained a system to keep them at bay. Are we together? Let me tell you one big secret about Koinonia. Listen to me. If you find yourself in this place, that you come and sit down with Koinonia, half of your miracle has already happened. Believe me. I know this sounds like pride. Forgive me if it sounds so. That you were able to successfully leave your house. If God opens your eyes to see the warfare that happens. Have you not seen people come and sit down and immediately praise and worship starts? They feel like giving themselves to go. No. There are spirits walking behind the scenes. Because someone's miracle is about to come. Someone's life is about to change. All of a sudden, a stranger starts calling somebody. Just when prayer is about to start. No, sir. They are not normal. Every service in Koinonia is warfare. That's why we never come into any service casual. We start praying from the week. The prayer department is praying. Every department is praying. I'm praying. Everyone is praying. And when we come, you see the things that the power of God does, and you are wondering. No. Satan is also watching. He is shocked at how he is resisted. Are we together? You are not going to build that house just because you think you have money. When all the economics are ready, the realm of the spirit must be taken care of. Are we together? Just because a brother sees you and he likes you, and you go back carelessly thinking you are fine, it's a joke in this wicked world that we live in. You lie down to sleep and a strange woman appears to you and say, in case they have not told you, let me tell you that I've been here for a long time. I am the one who has stopped all the 11 ladies in your family from marriage, and not even you will do it. And you get up and say, well, it was just a nice dream. And you take orange juice and you find out that the day the brother said he wants to see your people, his business scattered overnight. His life scattered overnight. One ear refused to hear. And the guy says, no, I've not even married you and this is happening. And he just finds his way quietly. But those who understand that every territory must have men and women who settle realities in the realm of the spirit. you engage strong warfare and intercession. At all times, not just when you have a dream about danger. Sometimes when you have that dream, it may be too late. The Bible says to be instant in season. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always always to pray. One of the greatest assets you can teach your child is the ministry of prayer and intercession. That's why I love it when our children join us when we are praying. Let them join. They may be playing and mimicking the tongues. Just leave them. One day you will be surprised to hear that they laid hands on their classmates in the play class. The power of God does not care which hand. Whether the hand is the hand of a young child or an adult. The moment that hand is aligned, the power of God will flow through it. Are we together? Number two, I taught us that the second key to preserving the ordinances of God in a territory is the regular convergence of believers. The regular convergence of believers within that territory. Believers must have systems of regular convergence for the purpose of training, for the purpose of building, for the purpose of mentoring, and for the purpose of receiving the current blueprint of the Spirit. He that has an ear, not everybody has that ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith, what he's saying, not what he said. One of the worst things that can happen to you is to be where God was. You must follow him. If he moves this way, that is your destiny. If he moves this way, that is your destiny. The moment you isolate yourself from him, then he's no longer a shepherd. And all of a sudden things start going wrong in your life. Number three, an open display of real miracles, signs, and wonders. We cannot preserve the emphasis. Listen. Believers, hear me. This has nothing to do with being called into the miracle ministry. If you want men to have memory of the moves of God, there must be supernatural manifestations of the power of God beyond the four walls of the church. Healings and miracles, testimonies per second, that remind people that God is alive. Are we together? Someone wants to laugh at God and he just needs a car that should have a ghastly motor accident and God delivered them. Immediately the person remembers. You see him say, thank God. Oh, thank God. When a territory forgets God, then there are hardly experiences that keep him in their minds. We must emphasize God through miracles, signs, and wonders and keep people aware of him. When you see Coca-Cola every day, it's enshrined in your mind. You know how Coke looks like. Educated or not, the moment they say Coca-Cola, we all know it. That's how it must be. So that even an unbeliever outside, when he hears people singing, God is a miracle worker, he won't lie that he does not understand the meaning of that song. He may not be born again, but we have institutionalized the power of God in a territory. It becomes impossible for people to mock God. They may be critics, but they know the truth. Jesus walked upon the earth. He moved in such dimension of power and grace. Although the scribes criticized him in the day, Nicodemus came by night, John 3, and said, Rabbi, we know. He didn't say, I know. All of us, those critics, we know the truth. We know that thou art a man sent from God. What convinced them? For no man can do these things, not say these things. No man can do these things. I write to you, all excellent Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, not teach alone. Do and teach. We're a generation of a performance. There must be a performance, and the performance must be beyond falling down. Results. Results that defy science. Results that create arguments. Results that stops an unbeliever from sleeping in the night. And he sees this. Every time God is revealed, is a message that pounds in the heart of someone who does not know God. It forces men to acknowledge that there is a God, because they cannot explain the synergy behind that miracle. When people begin to say there is no God, it is because the sons of light have refused to show them God. Are we together? Remember Paul and Silas and the episode of the jailer. The Bible says they were jailed, tied, hands and foot. And the Bible says they prayed and they sang. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. An earthquake came and rattled the entire prison. And then the Bible says that the chains broke from their hands. And the Bible says that while they were singing the praise and the worship, the jailers, all of them had them. I'm sure they were laughing. Stupid people, useless prisoners. You won't sit down in one place. And while they were singing, all of a sudden there was a physical earthquake. The hands, the chains were bound. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, all doors were open. And it was time for Paul and Silas to go out. And the jailer wanted to kill himself because he was tantamount to death. And he said, no, you don't have to rush. Calm down. We are here. That man got born again immediately. One miracle will answer 1,000 questions. All these useless explanations we keep giving. Let me tell you, every critic already knows the truth. Explaining to them is a waste of time. You answer by a superior performance of the power, the grace, the wisdom of God. Not to make a name, not to build an empire, but to reveal Jesus, to make him manifest. Number four, and that's where we stopped last week. Intentional mentorship of younger believers. Not young believers, we are young. Younger believers. If the ordinances of God must be preserved in a territory, there must be an intentional system of mentorship that raises the younger believers, and it starts right from nursery class, primary school, etc., etc. There must be a system of intentional mentorship. When we have a generation of people who are ignored, do you know by the time an average young man gets to 15, largely he or she, their lives have been wrecked beyond repair. Are we together? We must be able to capture people from the ages of these little children and show them God. Let their lingua franca be Jesus and Jesus only. We mentor them. Gone are the days where people commit themselves to investing in children ministry and young people. Society has tainted people. The moment you focus on children, they say it's because you're a young man. And in a bid to manage that embarrassment of not looking small or a child, we have ignored them. And Satan says, if you ignore them, I'm available. More than available. There must be a mentorship of younger ministers. Younger ministers. They must be mentored to understand. But the only challenge I have with mentorship is that the mentor himself must have an encounter with God. Otherwise, we are going to mentor our limitations to people. It will be a transference of limitations. There are many people, it's because of mentorship they stop believing God. There are dimensions of God they would have believed. But a mentor created a theology out of his limitation and forced them to believe it and raped their potential for entering superior dimensions in the spirit. There were people who began to have visions, dreams, prophetic encounters until they met a so-called mentor and he told them it was diabolism, and they casted it out and closed the door against the Holy Spirit. Not everybody can mentor. Being in ministry for a long time does not qualify you for mentorship. You can be doing the wrong thing in ignorance for many years. It's an election of grace. God must train people with a track record and a testimony of walking with the Holy Spirit. Number five, the fifth way that the ordinances of God, the program of God, is preserved over territories is influence. 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 God must find people in high places that are in places of influence enough to supervise the policies that preserve God in a territory. Are we together? For a very long time, The church has been indoctrinated to resent influence. We have been indoctrinated into believing that every time people aspire to rise to prominent positions, to sit upon the notable places of several spheres of influence, is a proof of carnality. So we have created a theology that you either be carnal and influential or spiritual and private. No, sir. No, sir. Jesus was a man of influence. What is influence? The ability to mold your understanding into people without using force. The ability to compel people to buy into your beliefs, to buy into your paradigms, to buy into your perceptions without using force. You use results. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 18. The verse of emphasis is verse 10. But for reference purposes, you can put verse 7 to verse 18. But let's look at just verse 10 for the sake of time. Help us, media. Verse 10. Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. It says, "For I am with you, and no one will attack or hurt you." What is the reason? "For I have many people in this city." There are many people who call upon my name in this city. And the fact that I have several people is an advantage to my agenda. Are we together now? That when God has many people in places of influence, it was the influence of Joseph of Arimathea that brought down the body of Jesus. It was not prayer that brought Jesus from the cross. He would have died and remained there on the cross. But a man of influence, Joseph of Arimathea, who had business concerns with Herod, told him that, "Look, I want the body of Jesus." And on grounds of that partnership and friendship, he said, "All right, no problem. He will be buried in my own tomb." Influence played a role in our salvation. We have entertained a weak and a beggarly church with no voice. Policies and policies come up from an antichrist government. Men and women who do not know God, neither do they have respect for His ordinances. They are the ones that sit in the high places, and spirits manipulate them to making life difficult for the church. And we are here praying in tongues, throwing ourselves from pillar to post, and rejecting influence. There are two principal ways the kingdom advances. One is evangelism, two is influence. None of them can replace another. Evangelism and influence. The gospel is a message and it's an ideology. It's not a message alone. The message of the gospel is the revelation of the love of the Father, demonstrated in the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus and the response of man to that act of love and benevolence, the result of which is the life of God imparted into man. That is the message of the gospel. But there is the ideology of the gospel, a system that seeks to enthrone Christ and His value systems first in the hearts of men and then across every strata of human existence. Here's the Great Commission. Go ye into, not go ye around. Enter a system, cosmos, the social system, the mountains that represent the spheres of influence that govern the cultures of people. Let me have representations here. He says, "Do not be afraid." Why? "No one will hurt you because I have many people there." When the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. It says, "When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy." When the vice chancellor of a university calls upon the name of the Lord, it's an advantage for the advancement of the kingdom within that territory. If the wealthiest man in Zaria calls upon the name of the Lord, it's an advantage to the growth of the church. I believe in influence. I never will reject influence. God has blessed me with influential people, some fathers of faith, some great people connected to this ministry, directly or indirectly, great men of influence, scattered across the military, scattered across business, scattered across every mountain. I will never be indoctrinated to rejecting them. because their relevance will show. When you want to ward the gates of hell, they will come physically through men. And God, there is only a limit. There are certain doors that will never open for you. You need somebody already in there who has the purposes of the kingdom. Are we together? There are many cities that refuse to sell land for believers. But certain men of influence and certain pastors that God has granted influence will come to that land, and a call will come directly. Oga governor, Oga lands and survey coordinator, release 10 hectares now for this church. Their advantage can increase the economy of this land. And all they say is yes, sir. May God put someone around your destiny that knows God and has influence. Influence can shorten your journey. All this prayer and fasting we pray out of unbelief is because we are using one system of the kingdom to remedy another. Influence can answer a lot of prayers. Are we together? Influence can answer a lot of prayers. A lot of prayers. God's people must find their way to the high places of life to represent His interest in the places that matter. In the places that matter. Imagine if Michael Jackson ever said Jesus, he would win more souls than many crusades combined. Whether the Jesus was a mistake or it was intentionally so. Are we together? I shared with us last week that Islam is the fastest growing religion in Europe. They have never packed a stadium for a crusade. They are using one weapon that we have ignored. Influence. 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 We live in a world that is governed by influence. Brothers and sisters, we need it. Whoever has influence sets the rules and forces you to work with the rules. I made up my mind that I will never pastor a spiritual and a weak people. Spirituality and influence can go hand in hand. And that's the template I've chosen. So I will continue to pray for you and teach you that you rise and become great people. In ministry here, at the level that God has brought us, there is hardly anything we want at this level that we cannot get because of the power of influence. Almost everything we will need at this level is a call away. A call away. A call away. If it's military might, a call away. Are we together? If it's some kind of legal stance, it's a call away. The power of influence. If anybody comes and tries to bully the ministry and oppress the lives of people, God has strategically placed people in areas of influence to do that. Influence is important. You reject it, you will pay for it. Are we together? You reject it, you will pay for it. We need influence every time. We need influence everywhere. If there is an emergency case right now and we need attention in the hospital, by the grace of God, He has given us influence to call some of the highest people that God can grant grace and make sure that we mobilize assistance for people. You see, believers are not taught how to live in a socioeconomic environment. We are taught how to live in church, but we are not taught the wisdom for living. And it is the lack of this understanding that destroys us. A day will come, you will need help, and ministry, the work of God, will suffer greatly without it. It will require influence. Every week you see people here, you know, and so on and so forth, have people, the bosses that come from, almost if not 100% of all the drivers, they are not Christians. But by 9 o'clock they come and wait here, all of them, and they are watching the meeting. It's called influence. Are we together? Don't reject influence. It is when influence is mismanaged that it can destroy people. There are people here, by the grace of God and with all humility, they have gotten jobs overnight because of influence. Oh, how are you, sir? There are students who had no business graduating, but influence took them and they just left. because you know somebody that can favor and help them. Hello, sir. Please, can you help ABCD? There are people who have gotten admission because of influence. There are people who have gotten promotion because of influence. The church has become grounded because we have hated and rejected influence. And we keep praying. The answer leaves the realm of the spirit, but the system that makes it manifest, influence being one of them, is largely ignored. We must receive grace for influence. Hallelujah. There are people who have been at the police station, and the situations around their lives would have been grievous, but because of the power of influence, one call, officer, inspector, I'm the one calling A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and it's over. Unbelievers understand this. You can catch a criminal, a capon, take him to prison in 2 hours. One call abroad, returns one call back to Nigeria, and the person is out, walking on the street. And then a sincere believer who loves God but is ignorant of the systems of God is kept and locked. God must give us influence in the name of Jesus Christ. God has helped us as a ministry. I tell you the truth, and I say it without humility. God has given us influence, and we have honored our way into those influence. Are we together? It matters. You have influence to the degree to which men rise to remedy any challenges that stand before you. It will happen in ministry. I remember there was, I think, a few months or so ago, or weeks, there was someone that wanted to just make some trouble because of the overflow and all of that. And before all those troubles will rise, people arose from everywhere and said, no way, you are a joker. We have been blessed beyond imagination. That's the power of influence. I never had to go there to find out what happened. Influence. Many of you may never know, but there's a gentleman now serving 5 years, 5 months or so in the prison. During one of the night vigils, he wanted to steal a car somewhere there. But because we had influence and access to military might, they were caught and apprehended and handled. And I didn't even know. It was the next day while we were on our way to the trip. The protocol department told me, they got intelligence. Let me tell you something. If there is a crisis, God forbid, in Zaria, within 1 hour, we have built a system of immunity. We are not stupid people. In less than 5 minutes, whatever needs to be communicated to every Koinonia member will reach the person. And the relevant structures for military might and influence will be put. We are not stupid people. We are living in the horse is prepared for battle. Safety is of the Lord, but the horse will not sleep. You are living in a wicked world. Don't assume you are not living in one. Are we together? When the devil uses men to rise against you, do you have enough influence, or are you connected to people of influence that can come and speak the purposes of God? Hallelujah. We must never reject influence. Brothers and sisters, please take what I'm telling you seriously. There are churches today who have refused to get land because of influence. There are churches today who have never gotten certain opportunities because they have ignored influence. They rejected it, they resented it, and it left them completely. Influence. We go to the bank, and by the privilege of God's influence, many things that should not be done ordinarily are done to us because of influence. If you reject influence, you will never, never experience certain dimensions of God. Influence is not just Christians. Influence is God lifting you to a platform where you can get the loyalty of men. You can get the whatever it is that they represent. Hallelujah. The School of Ministry students will soon be graduating, and while we're trying to prepare for their graduation and so on and so forth, they were talking one time about their uniforms, what they would wear. And one of the students of School of Ministry is here. He just got up and said, look, I can get you graduation gowns. The only reason why they are not using it is simply because there are more students than the gowns can take. But influence. That's something somebody can be praying for 3 days and say, Lord, won't you raise somebody? No. Many of the need-driven prayers are products of lack of spiritual intelligence. Influence can answer many prayers. Do not be afraid. I have many people. Many people. Many people. Could it be that our parents have rejected influence to their detriment? Could it be that several people across have rejected influence to their detriment? Influence is powerful. Powerful. I remember when Boko Haram struck Mubi. Many of them may be listening from here now. And all of that destabilized the church. The entire church in Mubi, everything scattered. Men of God had to go. People were killed and all of that. And God granted us the access through the power of influence to be part of those that God is using to bring the church within that territory back next month and back there again. What a privilege to strengthen the believers and call everybody back again and say the purposes of God must thrive on this land. That's the power of influence. Are we together? I believe in influence. I am friends to politicians. Talk whatever rubbish, they are Christians. Many of them have gotten born again. Many of them know God and they have the purposes of God. I advise some of them. I pray for them. I'm not looking for their money. God has been faithful. We ignore these people in the name of spirituality. And when there is need for help, nothing happens. I remember, I think it was in Niger State, one of the year, I don't know, before the last election or so. The Can people wanted me to go and talk. They usually have men of God that go and talk with the government, you know, and talk with them. And the last time they took one young guy, the guy went there and did a lot of very naughty things. You understand what I'm saying? People misused because they don't understand the protocol of greatness. I've had the privilege to advise people high and mighty. They love me. There are things that influence have brought to my life, have brought to this ministry. There is no good thing that comes into this land that we are not aware of. There are systems of influence that grant us access to the choices of everything. Please believe in the power of influence. Otherwise, you are going to pay for it in unbelievable ways. I've shared with you a humorous story about a young guy in NDA and the Emir of Zaria, where the guy wanted to get admission and he failed the test. Among other reasons, they said there was a height requirement to join the NDA, and they said he fell short by a few inches. Sorry, we cannot take you. And the guy got angry and came. One person connected to the other and the news got to the Emir. And the Emir sent that they should go and tell the commandant of NDA that the Emir has added the height of that man. Everybody say influence. Do you think they took him? Yes. The person may probably have finished now. The worthy soldier. Influence. His destiny would have been jeopardized. He would have been a farmer somewhere, loitering in all kinds of pain and doing it. Just a little farming, the back of his house is pain. But influence brought him back to destiny. Don't reject influence. Don't reject influence. I will never reject influence. If God grants me access to great people, I will talk to them. Most of us know Billy Graham to be an evangelist. A dimension of him that is hardly known was that he was an influential man. He was a mentor to several presidents of America. It was not luck. He literally pressed for it. He said how many times Billy Graham would write letters to the presidents and they would turn him down. They would throw away the letters. But he continued because he believed that he was destined, among other things, to be an advisor to presidents. From today, and not even from today, it's been like that for many years, I believe. Every president goes to pay homage to him, regardless of what their spiritual orientation is about God. It's the power of influence. We'll cause men to do things for God that they had no business doing because of influence. In the name of Jesus Christ. When you go to Dubai, you go to China, They have never been under pressure to learn English because of influence. They speak whatever language influence translates it to those who are the benefactors of whatever they represent. Chinese people have never seen. I remember one keyboard years ago that my father bought from wherever. I don't know where he got that keyboard. Brought it excitedly at home and said, "Look, there's a very classic keyboard." And I looked at it and it was a toy full of Chinese. I looked at everything and I said, "How in the world are we supposed to?" I mean, there is not even on, you know, like English / China. It was pure. I'm sure it's one of those things that were just shipped into the country. I remember the frustration many times when I'm trying to look for the right voice because I can't speak it. That's the power of influence. They have not seen a need to downgrade their systems to English because they have value that the world must subscribe to. Lord, make me a man of influence. Lift your voice and pray in 1 minute. I covet it. The Bible says to covet earnestly. I desire it. Not for self-aggrandizement. Not for the carnality of it, for the sake of your kingdom. Your purposes must be represented not in just in a land, it must be represented among great people. Lift your voice and pray in 1 minute. Lord, grant us influence. As a house, we receive the grace. We receive the mantle. We know the value of influence. As far as kingdom advance is concerned, and we receive it with all our hearts, unashamedly and unapologetically, we receive kingdom influence. In business, in finances, in ministry, in government, we receive it. The last point I'll talk about tonight and then we'll pray. The sixth way that the precepts, the ordinances of God are preserved in a territory is through an open display of love. An open display of the love of God. Love that is without prejudice. Love that is without tribalism. Love that is outside of religion. Any sect, any movement, any church, any program that does not communicate the love of God to the community and the territory with which it is represented does not have a future. Regardless of the prayer fire, regardless of the mentorship, listen carefully. Regardless of the quality of the word, the spirit of revelation that is prevalent within that territory, if there is no love, everybody say love. Not just love for the brethren. The Bible says to love all men, be good to them, especially they that are of the household of faith. I have watched the resentment that men of God, the resentment that churches and ministries who are benefiting from a territory have towards that territory. One of the requirements for being blessed and endorsed by a territory is that there must be a perception from that territory that these people love us and they seek our good. Are we together? Demonstrated in many ways, but ultimately it must become a culture and a conviction. I've seen many moves of God, even in recent times, across several territories, where they have later fought the man of God. They fought the man of God, fought the church, fought everything. You know why? The community does not have a perception of the love. Not just love towards God, love towards men. I watch your life and I see the way you treat non-Christians. I watch your life and I see the way you treat people who are not your tribe. I watch your life and I see the way you treat people who did not have the privilege to go to school. I watch your life and I see that although you are a prayer giant, your resentment and sarcasm towards the territory God has planted you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. First, He didn't just send His Son to come and get out of the territory. It was love that brought Him. If you want to see the purposes of God established and preserved, even through this ministry, we must love our environment. Are we together? We must love the body of Christ within this environment. I've taught us that there may be one, listen to that message, is powerful. There are four encounters I've taught us here that you must have in your life to be efficient. Number one is an encounter with the Lord Jesus. The benefit of that encounter is life eternal, the way. Number two, an encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The benefit of that encounter is leadership, guidance. The third encounter you must have is an encounter with the Word of God, the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom. Are we together? The benefit you get from that encounter is capacity for legislature, dominion. Is the resultant effect of your comprehending the mysteries and the systems of the kingdom. But the last encounter that very few people have understood is an encounter with the body of Christ. An encounter with the body of Christ. Not just God, but the body of Christ. If you have not had an encounter with the body of Christ, you remain lopsided. I trust God for when I will begin to write books. I have a book that I'm going to write. The title is Balance. It's a reorientation of the bride of Christ. The book is about the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb, and the dishonor that has been communicated to her. The scriptural text is jealousy is the rage of a man. Giving you a preview to the book. Jealousy is the rage. When you touch a responsible man's wife and claim you love the man, are you not a hypocrite? Are we together? Papa, can someone insult your wife and then bow to you? That's a hypocrite. So when you hate his bride and claim you love him, something is missing somewhere. A wounded bride is still a bride. An imperfect bride is still a bride. We must have an encounter with the body of Christ. I was sharing with a dear friend. He's seated here. We're having a little discussion in the afternoon. And I was just talking to him about the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest keys to be granted unusual anointings, please listen to me, greater than your prayer life, greater than fasting, is your love for God and your love for His body. You will never be given the power to heal the sick if you hate the people you are going to heal. Are we together? Every spiritual gift works by love. Every manifestation of the power of God works by love. If I hate Ejimi right now and God gives me prophecy for Ejimi, the purity with which that prophecy left the throne is not the purity with which it will be delivered. That prophecy will rub off on my hatred. And chances are that I will add to that prophecy what God did not say, which was a derivative of my personal vendetta with Him. Are we together now? Love. Most of us trivialize love. We love power. If I tell everybody, shout power, you stand up with two hands and say, power, oh God. Shout miracles, miracles. Shout gifts, gifts. Shout love, and we say the ladies can shout it. That's the reason why many people never walk in the high places of the Spirit. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it come into the heart, the comprehension of any man, that which God has in store for they that love Him. Are we together? He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not how you pray, not the wheelchairs you lift up, when you have love one for another. The Bible says, how can you claim you love God that you have not seen when you hate your brother? Listen, having a different perspective is not a reason for hatred. There are many people that walk The extended workforce of the ministry includes several people. There are people watching from the projector stand outside. Some of the drivers will soon come. They are Muslims. I love them. I greet them all the time. When they give birth, our protocol department goes to greet them. We invite them for dinner. The Muslims know that I love them. I have neighbors who are Muslims. Whenever they are celebrating any occasion, I try to greet them. Sometimes with sweet and brotherly kindness. I remember when Koinonia used to do counseling sessions before we stopped. Ask those who come. You see throngs of Muslim families come together with everything, not in hiding. They come openly. Muslims recommend people and say, look, go to that man of God. And they come. Oh, I am happy at this. I am allergic at this. And I say, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. Not what are you doing here? The world is not for Christians. The world is for anybody God allows to arrive here. Whoever. Whoever arrives here. Whoever arrives here deserves to be shown love. There are families, some of your families have a mixture of Christians and Muslims. Look at the fight that happens here. The prayer warrior slash priest is the greatest troublemaker in that family because he disagrees with everything. Everything. I remember when I was in primary school, they do Muslim prayers, Christian prayers, and after they do it, everybody hugs themselves. We, truly speaking, growing up, I did not know any difference between Muslims and Christians. We celebrated Christmas together. When it was time for Salah, we looked forward to Rams arriving and all of that. I mean, people were just happy you see people. But the resentment, especially of the church. Are we together? There are three people that come around. How are you? What's your name? I'm James. How are you? My name is Femi. How are you? My name is Abdullah. You stand here. And we try to be able to say, look, we are the church. No, sir. You are the light of the world. World. A city set on a hill. As far as we are represented in this land, everybody will be blessed from it. We will pray for everybody. We will strive to get as many to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But regardless, there are people I pray for. I pray for them with all my heart. Some of them come and they bring their charms. I'm sorry, sir. You know, the way my practice... I tell them, I say, no problem. But this is the way it is. You know, when you want to see these charms will not help. Not, hey! You are bringing charms. My Jesus, where are you? Show up. All these kinds of things that we do. No, sir. We are not going to bless the world that way. Are we together? Some of us have neighbors. 6 o'clock. You are shouting. You open the door and just go. Hey, sister, Femi, come. Brother, this, come. And we're on our way going. And all the Muslim people, good morning, sir. And they are watching. Let me tell you, listen to me. We will never preserve the ordinances of the kingdom that way. But when there is love, you hear that someone is sick. Amina, you are sick. What is wrong? Is your mother around? No, she's not around. Let's go to the hospital. And the lady is watching you. You go to the hospital. You pay the bills. Please. Amina is also my daughter. And the Hajia comes and says, I thought you were supposed to go to church. And say, the reason why I would have gone to church is what I am doing now. I'm not a hypocrite. I will not go to church and let somebody die. The very training I would receive in the church was to take care of such a person. And I'm here seeing them. The woman goes back. I love families where you see people, regardless of religion, regardless of this, they love themselves. There is this resentment. And we pastors are the architects of programming members to hate any other person who is not them. The worst part of it is that it has even entered the church. It's no longer Christians versus non-Christians. Denomination. Every time you see somebody that is dressed this way, you are not told to hate directly. It's through a series of messages that draw a straight line. Hate this person. If you see any lady who behaves this way, hate this person. If you see any brother that behaves this way, hate this person. If you see any young man of God preaching, hate this person. If you see any ministry where the power of God manifests, hate them. If you see any ministry where the man of God cannot even pray in tongues, hate him. We all combine that war and think we are being spiritual. And God is watching us. God is not a Christian, no. I hope you are aware. God is not a Christian. God is the God of all flesh. God is not a Christian. When the angel appeared to Joshua, he said, "Are you for us or against us?" He said, "You are joking. I'm not for anybody. I'm standing on God's side. Whoever I find here is the one for me. You are not here. You go away immediately." The Last Supper that we talk about in heaven, good news, is one big table, and everybody who arrives there must be there. You are not given the privilege of choosing your neighbor. We are there, one big family. The Bible already told us. Listen, one of the biggest secrets of the grace of God upon my life is that I never resent any man of God. I never resent any church. You will never hear me open my mouth to talk against any man of God. No. If I mention names, it is for commendation and for blessings. Now, I have my reservations. I have my convictions. But it is not enough reason. You see me greet and love people anywhere. I have friends and great people that we vary sharply in beliefs. But I love them with all my heart. Are we together? Who taught you to love only those who agree with you? Doctrinally, religiously. Some of us, innocently, our mothers have indoctrinated us. Hate this one. In this neighborhood, everybody is a witch except us. Someone prepares a nice meal and they bring it and say, if I see you touch that rice, the slap I will give you. And the neighbors are watching. Bring those people for deliverance and see who manifests. You'll be surprised that the only thing the unbeliever needs is salvation. But the so-called jumping noisemaker, before they even arrive and speak, they're already shaking and shouting and flying up and down. Let's be careful. The greatest enemies of Jesus were not prostitutes. They were not children. He loved them. When he saw a woman who was caught in adultery, he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" He said, "Neither do I accuse you." That's Jesus for you. He met a woman by the well, and the woman was afraid as usual because everyone had treated her that way. Jesus said, "You have 5 husbands. The one that is with you is not even your husband." I thought Jesus, they used them, "Abba, 1 husband, 2 husbands." Because that's what Joshua Selman would have done. "Madam, what is wrong with you? You have not listened to my message. Essential for a brother's relationship." Thank God Jesus is not me. I'm the one who strives to become him. Are we together? But here's a loving, loving. I remember one time I was counseling someone. I think he had 3 wives. And then he was telling me, "Well, the other wife, the third wife is mother." And I was shocked. He just passed the statement and I said, "Come back." "The what? Ah, okay. You are mentioning this thing." And the Holy Spirit convicted me. You see, when something has happened, it has happened. God manages that system to best his will. There are no longer regrets. Doesn't mean you should do it. Hey, yes. Doesn't mean you should do it. Don't go and marry anyhow. But I'm saying, when you meet people and something has already happened, if a lady has already gotten pregnant and she's giving birth to the child, you won't carry the child and put him back to her. The child has arrived. The most important thing is, let's get God into that life. That's how we salvage the situation. Listen, by the grace of God, one of my life's goals is to be the arm for wounded people to find shelter. And I say amen to that. Are we together? That when someone is wounded, I will not just be an anointed man of God, but a shoulder that you can lean on. That when other people are moving and shouting and running their mouth like we do in the body of Christ, that it is you will be the shoulder for people to lean on. "Oh, I used to pray before, but something happened to my life." Hi! Something happened. What happened? Pride, I mean. But you are the arm. He said, "It's alright. there is a system in the kingdom where mighty men can arise again. Love. Is God speaking to us? There is nobody who wants to be a member of such kind of a church. Nobody will not want to be a leader of such kind of a pastor. Look at what this guy is doing. Can you imagine? I'm busy preaching and using him for example, and he's there. Well, I love him too. God bless you, Sam. I love you so much. Hallelujah. Yes. The workers in this ministry know that I love them. I love the leaders outspokenly. How many of you see Benga when he shines? Come, Benga. When he shines, he said, he didn't do it today, but I mean, he bought the clipper by himself, and trust me, he does a good job. Better than, I mean, he shines that thing and brings it for me to impart upon it. It's called love. When you see people, anointing and love can go hand in hand. You don't have to drag your face as if you are the best thing. No. I love people. God bless you. You see me and Jimmy, you see me and the little children. I'm sure it's only because protocol has stopped them now. Otherwise, these children can run while I'm preaching now. They don't care. To them, your Joshua Selman is apostle to you. He's the person who plays with me when I'm ready for play. After service, they run. They don't care whether I ate or not, whether I've broken fast or not. They just jump and expect me to hold them. It's called love. There is a side of God we have failed to reveal because we have thought that revealing it is weakness. I love Muslims. You will never see tribalism in this ministry. Never. Never. The workers have been taught. They've been taught. Oh, you are Igbo. You are Yoruba. No man after the flesh. I love my people. Don't get me wrong. There are my people listening to me from church. I love all of you with all my heart. But trust me. Trust me. I love the body of Christ. I have gone to every region in this nation. They have received me with joy and honor. Without prejudice. Without sentiment. I humorously used to talk with my people. And I tell them, I say, we have many houses in this nation. And then we keep listing all the houses, the frequent places that we visit. I'll be going to movie now next month. And whenever I reach there, do you know how they greet me? Daddy, Oyoyo. That's how that's because that's home. And it's home. I love them with all my heart. I told them the next time I come here, I'll look for land and buy because I think I qualify to be whatever it is, the local, the son of the soil of that place. How about cooking? The amount of food I've eaten in Kogi qualifies me to be given something, maybe a trip to Kogi. Hallelujah. I love the body of Christ with all my heart. No resentment, no prejudice. I see a man of God, before I even know who you are and what you believe, you receive a big hug from me. How are you? You are hungry, sir. This is something to eat. Before I start finding out whether you believe whatever. He said, I believe in Jesus, I also believe in culture. I still love you, but would you want to look at it this way? Not, hey! I want, blessed is the man who does not stand in the council of the Lord. I love people. There are Muslims seated here in this congregation, inside and outside, listening to me. And after service, they come and greet. I love them. That's how many of them have become born again. But whether or not they become born again, hating them. I love everybody. My neighbors, their little children. When I see them, they just jump and come and hug me, and I lift all of them. I don't care whether you are a Christian or this, you are a herbalist, whether there's a chap for you, that's not the issue. That's why God allowed me to immune myself. I lift them and I'm happy and bless them. Change your outlook about the world. My world is a beautiful world. My world is not a world in crisis, having enemies, church versus No. My world is a beautiful world. I love people. I don't resent people. I don't pride myself at the pain of people. Walls of pride and prejudice shall see. When we are your instruments of peace, Lord, make us instruments of your several files from different prayer groups in Zaria, different ministries in Zaria. Man of God, pray for us. I'm praying with all my heart. Man of God, we have a little program. We need 10 naira. Okay, I can help you with 2 naira. I don't care whether you are with me. I don't. It's not my business. The most important thing is I love you. You love Jesus. You are my friend. You truly are my friend. What a beautiful way to live. This ugly, resentful way. The whole world will not become koinonia. Stop dreaming about it. Kingdom advancement is not establishing koinonia everywhere. Kingdom advancement is koinonia establishing Christ everywhere. Are we together? Yes. The mandate is extended by many of you here and many ministries that will come out of here. That's true kingdom advancement. Not an advancement of one person's agenda and ideology, but an advancement of his kingdom. And it's a privilege to contribute the quota that your ministry or whatever platform can bring in kingdom advancement. I love the body. I honor the husband and I honor his wife. I honor the husband, Christ. I honor his wife, the ecclesia. I honor the bride of Christ. I will never resent the bride of Christ. Though wounded, she still deserves my honor. Though in ignorance in many areas, she still deserves my honor. Are we together? I meet a man of God somewhere. I greet him, whether I know you or not. Oh, you're a pastor. God bless you. Where? What are you doing? Oh, I'm a pastor with this and that and that and that. Oh, really? Oh, that's nice. How are you? Oh, I'm a pastor with Deeper Life. Ah, how is our father, Papa Kumuyi? Oh, you know Papa Kumuyi. I love him with all my heart. Oh, I'm a member of MFM. Really? How is our father, Daniel Lukoya? Ah, he's this. I mean, you love him. Really? Are you a member of MFM? No, not exactly, but it's our father. Say, bless us. A child receives from anywhere his father is. That's the body of Christ. Are we together? How are you? Oh, you are a winner. Yes, God bless you. Oh, I was blessed by Papa Oyedepo's message. I was so blessed. Are we together? It doesn't matter what fellowship, I can preach there. It doesn't matter what ministry, I can preach. I remember when the Anglican Communion invited me. They forgot I was a seminarian. I think it was the vicar. He was so happy when I was reciting the Apostles' Creed. And I was talking and he was so impressed. And after the meeting, they loved me with all his heart. And I greeted him, appreciated him. I love people with all my heart. You don't pray in tongues, no problem. I love you. You are limited by your understanding. I pray that you improve, but no problem. I love you. Are we together? That's what Jesus taught us. Now listen to me. I was sharing again with my friend this afternoon. Correcting the body of Christ is an office. Not everybody has the authorization to correct the body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Correcting the body is an office. The same way, Emeka is writing his last exam in a few weeks and you'll be a full doctor. He's already a just for them to all of them. See our doctor people there. I mean, we have so many doctors. Children speak while prayer is going, injection is coming here, attacking from every angle. I tell you, divine health is going to be here for a very long time. It has come here to stay. Praise God. Now watch this. If I am sick, will I allow any roadside, these guys that sell pharmacies on, they sell drugs on or one box on their head that they can mix everything, will I allow that person to treat me? I go to an authorized person. What authorized him? There is an association. When he writes his final exam, he's going to be officially authorized to practice medicine. Is that true? Yes. Correcting, do you think God will create a body and not allocate the doctors that take care of it? Are we together? The same way you have lecturers that teach the mind of that body, you have doctors. Coming to correct the body is an office. One of the first requirements to be qualified to correct the body is that you must love the body without reservation. The whole body must be loved without reservation to end the rite to correct her. Help that person under the anointing. The moment, listen, let me have your attention here. The moment you do not love the body, you cannot effectively correct the body. If this guy is a pastor, come Mike, and Mike is a pastor, XYZ Ministries International, ABC Ministries International, and I come, I'm a pastor, I don't like what Mike is doing, I already have a bias, I can never correct it in truth. Are we together? But I can stand here loving the body, and when I say, Mike, I think you are supposed to put your hand this way, not this way, I do it in love. Are we together? The context of my communication shows that I love Mike genuinely, and I speak with all my heart to see him rise. Hallelujah. I rebuke many of you here. Sometimes I come to preach and the series can be fire. You know, there are series that I hammer. As soon as they finish preaching, your body is just shaking and you can't wait for the grace so that you quietly go. No matter how hard I am on you, you discern my heart and know that there's love. There are men of God, you shout at members like that, next Sunday you have empty pews. But when they know that you love them, I rebuke people, I rebuke the workers, I rebuke worship team. I love you people with all my heart, but there are times that they deserve rebuke. And what does a good leader do? You rebuke them to the gravity that will create the effect. But they know I love them. I rebuke all kinds of people, protocol and everything. So you don't come and just begin to lambast the body of Christ, tear down every ministry, tear down every man of God, carry the baby and the bad water, mix everything together and throw them. No. If my leg is wounded, don't insult my head. My head is still good. Appreciate the fact that I barb well. It's just that there's wound on my leg. And then bring bandage and treat it. Don't keep pointing and say, you mean this big injury is on your leg? How can such a good head have bad leg? You are not solving the problem. Bring a bandage. I wrote a song years ago, the bandage is larger than the wound. Powerful song. One day I'll play this keyboard by myself and sing it. Are we together now? Bandage the wound and say, Father, thank you for the privilege. Your head is good, but this is where the problem is. And I come as a member of the body too, and I remedy you. And 2 weeks later, the wound is healed and he's standing. The church is stronger. The body is stronger. Christ is exalted. It's only in the church that we destroy our wounded soldiers. A man of God serves a ministry for many years, and an issue comes around his life, and the people he has served for many years turn against him as if he became a devil in 1 month. No, sir. No, sir. I manage a lot of cases between men of God, and sometimes I see the bleeding that comes from them. They serve people with all their heart, and maybe sometimes something happened around their life that, you know, destroyed their ministry or whatever it is, and you see the resentment. My prayer for you is that you become the arm that can wipe the tears of people. That every time people are crying, they say, I know that Pastor Alpha is a prayer warrior. He's a revelation giant, but he's also a loving hand. What a good testimony. Jesus said, let the little children come. The children were running to Jesus, and all of a sudden, guy, leave me alone. He has finished fasting, allow him. And Jesus said, who taught you this? Let the little children come to me and do not despise them, for such is the kingdom. I have come to seek and save the lost. I have come as a man of God. When I travel and go to regions, many times pastors come from other cities to come, you know, just in honor of the meeting, and I look at their faces. I see some already intimidated, I see some standing, and I am very quick to honor all of them. I come to them and I say, men of God, I love you, I honor you, I have not come to outshine you. I know you have listened to my messages. Don't be intimidated. I am here to lift up your hand. I am here you are already doing something great. I don't go to a city and destroy what the people are doing there. I go to a city and I tell them, look, you are doing something great, and I'm here to lift up your hands so that Jesus will be seen. You don't come and open a shop near another believer, and as soon as you open a shop near that believer, you just sit down, go and bring oil, go and bring water, go and bring this and pour it, and say, you will see, you will know that the God of my of Apostle Joshua, and you know there's fire in this koinonia. Where can I see your shop? And then the person's shop is going down, and you are laughing. Say, see, I told you, this anointing works in this ministry. You are an immature believer. An accident happens. 10 members, 8 die, and the only 2 members that survive are the members of your church. And then they come and say, everybody died except us. Remember that prophecy that Papa gave us, and an immature man of God is happy. The death of 8 believers is a setback to kingdom advance. We must have a corporate heart. Are we together now? I was asking him about the flood in Benue State and what is going on, because my heart, I've just been thinking about the people there, and I was telling him, I said, look, Benue has tried for years to bring me, by God's grace, I should try to visit that land next year. And we're just talking, and those of you listening from Benue, I love you. It's not my intention not to have come, and trust me, next year, in the name of Jesus Christ, next year Benue should be part of the itinerary. Let's go there and contribute to the great things that they are doing there. Whenever you approach ministry as a contribution, in addition to what God is already doing, you become loved, you become valued, and every man of God within that territory loves you. But when you go to a territory and push everybody away, as though you are doing nonsense, you are not even praying in tongues, and you are a pastor, you are not even this and that, you are not collecting offering in your church, you are not. You approach the pulpit with a heart of love. You bless people. Seated in this place are mighty men and women of God. They come quietly to sit down while the meeting is on. After service, there are many people who have traveled from many regions. I don't stand Joshua Selman, this is him. In case you have heard about him, this is Apostle Joshua Selman. Yes, bring your demons, bring your sickness. No. It's a privilege of his grace I will never take for granted. I'm nothing without you. It's grace, your grace shines on me. Your grace, I'm nothing without you. Your grace, listen, some of you here are pastors of fellowships and groups. Learn it. Never make your fellowship a place that divides the body. Are we together? Call to order people whose lives have a track record of this. No. Especially some of us who are younger, coming up in ministry. We have hardly seen anything and we are already sustaining this bossy attitude. No, sir. I've said about my love and honor for CGC. The leadership of CGC, I say it in the open, the CGC represents the most humble set of ministers I have seen in all my life till date. Truly speaking. I have never seen men of God so anointed together with their wives. The mama of CGC is such a humble woman. Mommy will see me like this and left for her, a woman that is old enough to be my mother, how many times mommy will want to kneel down? I know what some of you will do. You will stand and say, well, mommy, I let me tell you how it is. You won't look for it, but if it comes, you will enjoy it. You are still a criminal. It's like buying alcohol or you are giving. A drunkard is one who drinks alcohol, not one who drinks by buying with his money. Whether you are giving as a gift, it is the act of drinking alcohol that makes you a drunkard. A wise person, just because they acknowledge you and they come, apostle sir, and the woman, my mother, wanting to kneel down for me, and then I stupidly stand there and I will join her and kneel down. She kneels down, I will lie down and roll. I say, okay, let's roll on the floor there. Some of us are already receiving that. Your appetite for outshining is almost a cancer. You don't search for it for yourself. But when it comes, you don't mind. Where is the apostle? Where is he? That guy. That's it. Yes, apostle. Just yourself, man. And in case you doubt that I'm anointed, give me 5 minutes. Let me handle the mic. That's not a person that will last. If it means God taking the ministry from me to retain the humility He has given me, it's a worthy bargain. I will give up koinonia 1,000 times to maintain my work with God and to maintain the life. Humility has blessed me more than financial intelligence. It has given me access to the heart of God. There is nothing as beautiful as someone highly anointed and truly humble. Not fake humility that is just, no. Humility that is based on revelation. I love the body of Christ. I love the church of the Lord Jesus in Zaria. Every time I pass around and I see different prayer groups, prayer cells, different people, I see a lot of, some of them are our brethren here. Some of them have crusades in different lands. I think there was a crusade conducted recently in Gombe. I am excited seeing the people that God has granted grace to raise, doing a lot of things. I'm not pushing them and say, it should be only me. Only me. No, only you is this thing. That one is just culture. We bring our cultural limitations, mix it with the anointing, and make it look like it's the Holy Spirit that is responsible for all that outcome. No, sir. Let's separate between the limitations that came from our personal sense of poor esteem. I love it when I see God lift people. I love it when I see God use people. During the school of ministry, I was at their practicum. I was seated outside and I was almost shedding tears. I was watching as great men and women, powerful people, dispensing truth. I sat down. The reason why I left this place and I sat down outside was I didn't want them to be conscious of the fact that I'm there and then be conscious of not. I wanted them to just have their way and minister. And what a powerful meeting it was. For me, it's a pride. For many men of God, it's an intimidation. No. Let's clamp these people down very soon before they outshine. No. Honor is a mantle. If it's on you, it's on you.
Shines on me. Shines on me. I'm everything with you. Shines on me. Shines on me. It's your grace. Shines on me. Shines on me. I'm everything with you. Shines on me. Shines on me.
God sent me a text a few weeks ago. I think armed robbers entered, and I think it's a small church somewhere. I don't know if it's in Abuja or Nasarawa State. And he sent me a text. He said, "Man of God, I don't know you, but armed robbers just entered. They stole some of their gadgets. I'm sure maybe the church was not secured and all of that." I didn't have to ask, "Who are you? What church do you belong to? What do you believe? Do you listen to my message or not?" That was none of my business. "Sir, really? I called him. How are you, sir? Let me pray for you. I hope they didn't hurt anybody. Where is the church? I pray for you with all my heart in the name of Jesus. Please send me your account number. Whatever little I can send. If it cannot be enough to buy a speaker, at least you can buy a recharge card and make calls. Cheer up. Don't worry. Father, strengthen this brother in the faith. The devil has come to discourage him, but my brother, I encourage you. Stand strong. Oh, apostle, you have been a mentor to me. That's not the issue. I'm praying for you now. The loss of one is the loss of the body. The gain of one is the gain of the body. Lift your voice as you are seated and cry for the grace, a baptism of love for the body. I'm not doubting your love for God, but your love for the body. I show you why you are not seeing miracles in your life. I show you why there are certain levels of investments that you may not see. I show you why God may not be able to trust you with blessings for the body. Lord, I love your body. Ah, I love your body. I love every church. I love every denomination. I love every man of God. There may be difference in belief systems. There may be difference in values. Our levels of alignment may differ. Our levels of spiritual results may differ. But I love what you are doing in Nigeria. The church in Nigeria is not dead. The church in Nigeria is not weak. She can't be better, but Christ is in the midst of her church. The perfecter of the bride. 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 Inside, outside, make sure you are praying. The perfecter of the bride. Hallelujah. We are still going to stand up, but I'm going to give you one more prayer point. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, the spirit of sarcasm and resentment, take it out of me. I didn't even know when it entered me. I laugh at men of God. I laugh at business people. I laugh at other tribes. Anyone who is not Yoruba, I laugh at them and resent them. Anyone who is not Igbo, I laugh at them and resent them. Anyone who is not a Northerner, anyone who is not a Christian, any Muslim I see, I hate. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Jesus taught us to love. Jesus taught us to love. It's one way we allow the purposes of God to be preserved. That the church within a territory is known for love, not hate. Not hate. Hallelujah. Listen. We are going to pray. Brothers and sisters, look at me. If it is authentic power you want, if it is grace and anointing you want, more than fasting and more than prayer, you must love his body. You cannot love a husband and hate his wife. You are a hypocrite. I cannot love a Jimmy and hate Hope. I cannot love Pastor Alpha and hate Annie. It doesn't work that way. When you love a man, you love his wife. If you love Christ, the head of the church, then you must love his bride. Yes, still getting perfected. Yes, with many mistakes in the midst of her. Yes, with many scandals in the midst of her. Yes, with many people blindly refusing dimensions of God. But you must love people. I love every man of God. I love every pastor. I love every leader in Zaria, across this nation. I love them. I watch television and I see different preachers across different channels manifesting what they know and understand by the kingdom in many ways. And I see a lot of things. I have my reservations, but I love them in spite. I love all of them with all my heart. The same way many people love me, in spite of my own imperfections, in spite of my own limitations, they overlook the excellence level of our messages. Some messages are not very clear. They overlook it and focus on what God is doing. That is the same way you must sow that same seed of love. You can't be resentful over everybody. Are we together? Yes, the lady did not cover her hair. Okay, it's alright. Reserve your reservation about your concept there. But it's not enough reason to hate. Oh, the lady covered her hair. Ah, I don't believe in covering of hair. No problem. But it's not enough reason to go around hating people. No, sir. We must love the body. When we do this as a territory, you will see revival break out in Zaria. And from Zaria across every part, one worship minister will finish worshiping and hug the other one and give him the mic with joy. Not give him the mic like, you have come to stop me from shining. No, the body. Think kingdom, not koinonia. Think kingdom, think body, not Joshua Stellman. Thank God for the honor. Thank God for the loyalty based on administration. But if you want to be effective in the kingdom, you must think beyond me. You must think beyond koinonia. You must think kingdom and the purposes of God. Hold hands together.
Though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ. Though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ.
One more time, let it be a song of love and unity.
Though we are many, we are one body in Christ. So we are many. We are one body. We are one body in Christ.
Prayer point number one. Lord, place a love for your body. Place a love for Christians, a love for Muslims, a love for traditional worshippers, a love for any and everybody. Place a love for Yoruba people, a love for Igbo people, a love for Northern people. Lift your voice and pray. Grace to love. Lift your voice and pray. Drive far from your life the spirit of hate. Drive far from your life the spirit of resentment. Exalt the body in love. Build the body in love. Connect Muslims in love. Connect traditional worshippers in love. Deal with your unbelieving relatives in love. It is the love of God that brings them to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, in any way I have contributed to the division of the body within my territory, I ask for mercy. Lift your voice and pray. In any way, through ignorance, through limited spiritual understanding, in any way I have contributed, I have planted the seed of discord among members. I have planted the seed of discord among men of God, among speakers, among church workers. I have created a sense of competition and appetite without time. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Prayer points that were done for tonight. Next prayer point. Lord, trust me with any dimension of your power available. I will not disappoint you. It will be for the body, not for my members. Trust me. May I be a worthy vessel, O God, that you will find to host your prosperity, to host your prophetic grace, to host the apostolic fire, to host leadership, to host administration. Let it please you to trust me. Let it please you to trust me. It will be for your body. It will be for your body. Thank you. preserve us of divine ordinances. We are going to pray. I want us to spend about 5 minutes intercede for the body of Christ in this nation. Listen, but particularly intercede for the body of Christ in Zaria. Lord, Zaria remains a place of revival. This is where we are domiciled for now, so we pray for the peace of this city. We decree and declare this town remains crisis free. This city remains development conducive in the name of Jesus. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is favored upon this land. Are we praying? Lift your voice and pray. 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 We pray for the churches in the 6 geopolitical zones of this nation. We bless them. We strengthen their hands in the spirit. Lord, we declare that there be a supply, a greater supply of the spirit, a greater supply of financial resources, a greater supply of the spirit of illumination, revelation, a greater supply of your grace, a greater supply of influence. We pray for the church in this nation. We decree and declare by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is standing strong. Every church, every cathedral, every pastor, every prophet, every apostle, every priest, we decree and declare that their lives permit your purposes to be established across that territory. Their lives permit your purposes to be established. Their lives permit your purposes to be established. Lord, heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted men of God. Brokenhearted members. Brokenhearted churches. Brokenhearted denominations. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, heal them. Restore and guide us. Renew anointings. Multiply unction. Multiply encounters. We pray for the church in Zaria, the spiritual heritage that are blessed upon this land. We decree and declare the name of Jesus. We decree and declare the name of Jesus. We decree and declare the name of Jesus. It will not be lost. We prophesy that we are preservers. That we should pray for our children, born and unborn, ages 0 to age 15. We need to travail, we need to cry and say, Lord, let an angel of your presence begin a walk with those generation of people. Let revival fire once again break out. Come on, pray. We capture that age range in Zaria. We do not neglect the generation coming. We do not neglect our children. We prophesy upon them. Children who are here manifest, and those who are in the loins of prophecy, we decree and declare. Let the young ones
anything of spiritual substance. Lord, from our children, out of the mouth of our babes and struggling, you will ordain praise, you will perfect revival. Out of our children will come the movers and the shakers in the spirit. Like Samuel, they will hear the voice of God. Like Joash, they will become mighty men at a young age.
I can now give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. If the shores and the islands will see your light, as it rises over. I can now give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on high.
That our territory will not be scarce of your presence. We make a declaration that Zaria remains a portal for kingdom activities. We make a declaration that Nigeria remains your firstborn. We decree and declare that the mystery that is upon this nation that has produced great men and women, I pray, oh God, that that covenant be revisited again. Every communication of dishonor to fathers of faith that has come out of this region, every dishonor to the generals of faith across the globe, every dishonor to men and women that you are using that has come out of any church or any ministry in Zaria, we declare that the blood speak. In the name of Jesus, we communicate our unflinching honor for you and for your body. We love your body. We believe in the possibilities that are enshrined in your body. And Lord, we decree and declare that Koinonia specifically remains a place where you have unrestrained access to manifest your multifaceted possibilities. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this place remains a ministry of impact. It remains a ministry of transformation. In the name of Jesus, keep the fire burning, keep the lampstand burning. Be that fire that burns and will not quench day or night. Let lives, let destinies, let ministries arise from this place to the entire globe. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we make a covenant with you again that we remain preservers of your ordinances. We will teach our children. We will teach our children's children. We will mentor them on the ways of the Spirit. We will teach them the precepts of the kingdom. We will not leave them in ignorance. The move of God will not be lost in our time. It will be preserved and preserved sufficiently. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you and we give you all the honor. In the name of Jesus. Keep standing, everybody. One of the ways to preserve the precepts of the kingdom is to make sure, listen everybody, inside, outside, those following online, that people come into the saving knowledge of Jesus. Giving your life to Christ is not an initiation into a religion. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, And he leaves you with a promise that I will give you rest. Are we together? There are people here, you struggled, you've lived your life, and you are saying, man of God, if you will make a call, I'm ready to run to Jesus. Or perhaps there are people here, as you listen to me talk about the body of Christ, you know that you really need to make your ways right with God. You are saying, man of God, I remember giving my heart to the Lord, but several things happen around my life, and right now I don't even know where I stand. If you give me a chance, I can run to Jesus. Whether you are inside or outside any of the overflows, I'm going to count 1 to 5 for time's sake. Please, I want you to rush like there's fire on the mountain and make your way to the front here. I want to pray for you. Can we honor them? 1. God bless you. Keep coming. They are coming. Don't wait for anyone to come. Be the first. 2. There are people seated in the congregation and the Lord is talking to them and saying, you heard the message and it affected you. 3. This is not all of them. Several people inside, outside, being convicted by the Spirit of God. Man of God, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not. Can I join them? Of course, join them. Join them quickly. Young and old, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, join them quickly. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Win that war in your heart. Don't allow the person you came with cause a resistance to you. The Bible says, in that day when you hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the provocation in the wilderness. God bless you. Make your way to the front. You are running to Jesus. Swallow your pride and come. I believe there are still people being convicted by the Spirit. Still struggling. Should I come? Should I not come? Several people outside, I believe. Make your way. Please clear the way for them as they come. We understand it can be a very bold decision, but make that decision for the sake of yourself, your children, your children's children. Make that decision. Make that decision. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, if you're joining them, please run quickly and join them. Those of you coming out, I sincerely salute you. Thank you so much for responding. It takes a lot of courage to come out. I understand. I want to lead you to make this prayer, whether or not you've made it before. I want you to make it with understanding, believing that it's not just a repetition, but it's a miracle happening to you. Lift your right hand and say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it from the depth of your heart, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight just as I am. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to forgive me. I decree and declare that I believe that you are the Son of God. I receive your life into my spirit, and I declare that from today I am a child of God. The Spirit of God lives within me. I declare that the way of the flesh, the way of the devil, is far from me from tonight. I receive grace, the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, and I reign in life in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. I declare your sins forgiven by the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that a new life starts for you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. The grace and the power that keeps men keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.